also imbibe this quality of Vatsalya. And this quality of Vatsalya will be manifested, it will be displayed toward the jeeves of this world. And that is in a general relationship. We were not speaking specifically of Vatsalya Ras, but we're speaking in the sense that the Lord is the protector and the maintainer and the nourisher of all the jeeves of this world. So the fact that He is Satchinandan indicates that He has this highest quality of Vatsalya, this highest quality of nourishing affection towards the jeeves of this world. And just as a mother has so much affection for the child, that if the child is out playing in the mud and the dirt, and then comes running home to their mother, then without hesitation, the mother will take that child who is dirty, and she will take that child on her lap, and she will cleanse away the dirt, and she will give that child her breast milk. She will nourish the child in so many ways. So similarly, Satchinandan, he displays this quality towards the jeeves. In other words, although the jeeves in this world are filthy and contaminated with the dirt of material desires, yet without hesitation, he picks up the jeeves who are so contaminated and very affectionately embraces them, cleanses away the dirt of their hearts, and he nourishes them by giving them frame. And not only just any type of prema, but he's giving them the very highest type of prema, Vraja prema. And then also the prema which the gopis have towards Krishna. So this is the significance of the name Satchinandan used here. That is, it is indicating this mood of great mercy that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has towards the jeeves of this world. And Hridaya Kandari, he's praying that this Satchinandan manifests in the cave of the heart. So why has he compared the heart to a cave here? There are two aspects to this. One is that a cave is a very dark place. So similarly, the hearts of the jeeves in this world, they are very dark. They are covered with the darkness of ignorance. And another thing is that there are many wild animals that reside in a cave. There may be snakes there. There may be other types of wild animals. It is also said that elephants, they take shelter of caves out of fear of the lions. So, similarly, our hearts are filled with the ferocious animals of wicked desires, desires for material enjoyment. So for this reason, our hearts are compared to a cave. And another name for Satchinandan, which is given in this verse, is Hari. So, Hari has different meanings. One meaning is he who takes away that which is inauspicious. And another meaning of Hari is a lion. So here, the name Hari, in the sense of a lion, it goes together with the meaning of the heart being described as a cave. Because just as the elephants, they sometimes take shelter of caves out of fear of the lions. But if a lion comes there, then it will drive away the elephant from the cave. So similarly, our desires for enjoyment in this world, they are compared to an elephant. Because they're not just some little small thing. They are very, very large, very prominent, and very powerful also. Just as an elephant, it can trample on the flowers in a garden and destroy that garden. So similarly, our desires are like that, very powerful, and can easily trample the any opportunity for spiritual advancement. But Satchinandana, being Hari, being a very powerful lion, if he enters the cave of the heart, then he can very easily drive away the elephants in material desire. Therefore he is Hari. And another meaning of Hari is that he takes away everything inauspicious. So that which is inauspicious means that which is opposed to our ultimate welfare. And our ultimate welfare is the development of prema. Therefore, later on in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna Kaviraj Goswami, he says, prem diya hariman. It means that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he gives prema and he steals the mind. So, in other words, the way he has expressed it, it is as if to say that first he gives prema and then he steals the mind. Yet, this is a particular type of alankar. Alankar means a form of literary embellishment. And this is called atishayokti. This means it's a type of literary exaggeration. And it's used specifically when you want to show that something will take place very, very immediately after. Then you present it as if it happens first. In other words, the giving of prema is the effect, and the stealing of the mind is the cause. But when there's a reversal of cause and effect, when the effect is presented as if it is the cause, and the cause is presented as if it is the effect, this is called atishayokti. And this is explained in by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur in his commentary on Alankar Kastub. Alankar Kastub is a book of Kavi Karnapur. And in this book, he has described all of the rules to be followed in literary composition, all of the different literary techniques and different types of faults and embellishments. And Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur has also commented on this. So he explains this here, that this is a particular type of... it's called as a particular type of fault here, but sometimes faults are also used in the sense of embellishment. So, the point is that there is one verse in the Bhagavatam. It's described the jiva's condition in this world. Bayadviti abhinivesatasya nishadvipetasya vipariyosmiti. Anyway, he describes this Viparyaya Smriti. And this is Dvitya. He describes this as Dvitya Abhinivesh, absorption in some secondary object. So that implies the existence of a primary object. So that primary object is Sri Krishna. And when one's absorption is in a secondary object, in other words, anything other than Krishna, that is called Dvitya Abhinivesh. So this is our disease in this world. This is amangal. This is inauspicious. That we are immersed and absorbed in things, many things, other than Krishna. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is called Hari because he seals the mind. The mind is the repository of Agnivesh. The mind is the resting place of absorption. So by sealing the mind, he also seals the mind's absorption. And just as when a thief steals something and he appropriates that thing for himself, so similarly, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu steals our mind and our absorption, then he appropriates that for himself, meaning that our absorption then becomes situated in him. And once our absorption becomes situated in him, then prema follows as a natural and automatic consequence. So therefore it is said here, prema di hariman, that he gives prema and steals the mind. In other words, he gives prema by stealing the mind. So therefore his name is Hari. There's many other things we could discuss. But should we go on or should we take some questions? Maybe we can stop and see if there's any questions. Yes, any questions?
The last thing you were saying that first, one of the blessings from Bhakti is taking directly as the gift, and then you're going to be guilty and go back and change.
Sure.
I'm just wondering how I can reconcile that with the introduction.
Well, the thing to understand there is that this verse, that verse you're referring to from Rasa-lila, is describing, it's coming at the end of Rasa-lila, and it's describing the power of hearing these pastimes. So there it is said that the power of hearing these pastimes is so great that even if one is still contaminated with anarthas, Siddhar Swami in his commentary says ati vimukhajan, which means he's not only vimukhi, he's ati vimukh, he's not only indifferent to the Lord, but extremely indifferent to the Lord. So even such a person, if he hears these pastimes, he will become tatpara, he will become absorbed, he will become completely fixed in the service of the Lord. So this verse is specifically describing the power and significance of hearing these pastimes. It is so powerful that it can literally, you know, cleanse the heart. Like first, in other words, when it is said that first it will bestow prema, you have to understand that there's no question that there will be any contamination in the heart if prema actually comes. You have to reconcile the statement with the understanding of Siddhanta. When prema is there, there's no question of there being any contamination in the heart. So therefore, how can it be said that after bestowing prema, the anarthas will be removed? It's not logical. It doesn't follow our understanding of Prem Tattva. So therefore, it means here that these pastimes are so powerful that even in a contaminated state, the effect will be that it will create so much taste, so much attraction in the heart, that that attraction will manifest first. In other words, it will manifest attraction and affection towards the Lord. And as a result of that, the contamination will be removed. But we can't take it in the paribhasic sense of prema. Paribhasic sense of prema means prema as it's described, as it's defined in its authoritative way, like in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, samyak masanita tasvanto samata apisaya bhava saiva sandratma budai prema nagadhate. This is the paribhasic sutra of prema. It is defining the constitutional nature of prema. So the constitutional nature is that it is the condensed manifestation of bhav, and that bhav is the combined essence of ladini and sandini, of swarup shakti. So when that manifests in the heart, there's absolutely no question of any contamination being there. So therefore, the prema which is spoken of there in this in the commentary, it is not the paribhasic definition of prema. It is not the intrinsic definition of prema. It is meant in general sense that attraction to the Lord will awaken, attraction to hearing of the Lord, and basically rag will manifest there, in the sense of a spontaneous attraction will awaken towards the Lord, which will then cleanse away the desires in the heart. We still have something to say now, too.
Does that mean that then this will come right at the same, it has different degrees? So it's like gradually satisfaction is some aspect of pain. And then when it's attracted in that way, that would be the amount of the pain. And that increases in pain. Something like that.
Yeah, it means that by hearing the Lila Katha, and especially the Ras Lila, which is being pointed out in this verse, and particularly hearing from Sadguru, the verse is stating that by first hearing these pastimes with Shraddha, with faith, then by repeating those pastimes, then prema will manifest. So in other words, the power of those pastimes, and in particular hearing from Sadguru, is that it will create attraction within the heart towards the Lord. In other words, it will promote one to the stage of ruchi, from which the path of Ragmarg begins. So rather than having to go systematically through the path of Vidhi and trying to eliminate all anarthas before hearing anything about the Lord, and first becoming situated in the Brahma-Bhuta stage, then after that bhakti will manifest. No, it's saying basically here it means that bhakti will manifest first, and then the anarthas will be eliminated. So, like, he quotes this verse from the Gita, that brahma-bhuta prasanatma nasa sukhi na kaṁsati samasarve subhuteshu nam bhaktim labhate param. So he's saying that that one becomes situated in the Brahman platform, means freedom from the affection of the modes of nature, freedom from the contamination of the modes of nature, and freedom from hankering and lamenting, and seeing all living entities equally. Then after that, bhakti will manifest. He's saying that although Krishna has spoken this way in the Gita, but here this verse is pointing out the opposite. That bhakti will manifest first, and then after that, the contamination will be removed.
Of his grand leader, which is Prema, and Sukadeva Goswami, who is speaking this truth, he is also full of Prema.
Mm-hmm.
So, in the first Guru, when he speaks the word, he is also speaking Prema.
Mm-hmm.
So, by this Prema first enters into the consciousness, and then the Anatta will be in it.
But, you have to understand what Prema is. That's why we were speaking the What is the real definition of prem? Prem means that when it is a vritti vishesh, it is a special function or a special aspect of Purush Shakti, the Lord's internal potency. And it is situated in the heart of the eternal associates of the Lord. And they manifest it in our hearts. That's how it becomes transmitted within the hearts of the jivas in this world. So, in order for that to take place, the heart has to be fit to receive it. That if the heart is full of anarthas, then it is not fit to receive that manifestation of Surat Shakti. It won't manifest there. The heart has to be gradually purified in order to be fit to receive this most precious and pure thing. Therefore, sadhana is that process which gradually purifies the heart and makes the heart fit to receive it. But even by sadhana, the heart will not become fit. If that sadhana is simply our own endeavor for progress. But when we take shelter of a bona fide guru, therefore bhakti begins with Guru Padashray, begins with taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Sadguru, and then taking diksha and siksha from him. And then one begins the angas of bhakti. So when one performs the angas of bhakti under the guidance of the Sadguru, then Bhakti Devi herself manifests through the medium of the senses. Otherwise, as we were discussing in the beginning of our talk in regards to the Leela Katha, so similarly bhakti, no one can perform bhakti through the senses, through the material senses. It's impossible. Bhakti has its own free will, or has her own free will. And only when Bhakti Devi agrees of her own accord to manifest on our senses, or in our senses, then only can bhakti be performed through the senses. So when we take shelter of a Sadguru and adopt his mood and perform the angas of bhakti under his direction, then bhakti situated in his heart, it is transmitted in a gradual way to us. First in seed form, and it gradually changes the quality of the senses, just like the iron rod in fire. So in the beginning, the iron rod is simply an iron rod, but as it is placed in the fire, then it gradually becomes heated up and eventually becomes tadatmi, becomes one in nature with the fire. So similarly, when we take shelter of Sadhguru, then he manifests bhakti in our hearts. But in the beginning, that bhakti will not be fully of the nature of Shuddha Sattva. It will not be fully of the nature of Swarup Shakti. It will be some abhas. But gradually, as the senses become purified, then they become more and more pure, they become more and more fit for bhakti to manifest there. And when we come to the stage of asakti, then the heart becomes fit to receive the Swarup Shakti from the Lord's eternal associates. And then, by very anxiously and very intensely praying for their mercy, when they become pleased, they will manifest bhakti in its pure form as a special function of Swarup Shakti. We'll manifest that in our hearts. So this is how bhakti is manifest in this world. But the point of this verse is that by hearing this type of katha, it is so powerful that it will enter the heart. It will cause attraction for the Lord's pastimes, attraction for the service of the Lord to manifest there, which will counteract the effect of the anarthas. That ordinarily a person would have to go very, very slowly, eliminating anarthas and performing sadhana without any real attraction to the Lord. Only by the statements of Shastra, that if I don't perform bhakti, then I will rotate in this material world, lifetime after lifetime, suffering. And if I perform bhakti, I will attain eternal ananda. So this type of motivation is not out of pure love. It is not out of attraction for the Lord. And if we are trying to make progress in bhakti based on this type of consideration, it will be very, very slow. So the point of this verse is saying that it will cause such attraction to the Lord to enter, even in an unqualified person, that it will generate this type of feeling towards the Lord. It will cause bhakti to manifest there, which will very quickly eradicate all anarthas, by which prema will manifest very quickly.
And then Mahaprabhu returns, because he to the world.
Yes.
Mahaprabhu's prema also melted the stone in which he was born. So this prema must be very powerful to melt also our own life heart.
Mm-hmm.
And direct association with the same bhakti or the Kali Mahaprabhu.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's true that he gave prema to many persons immediately. But still, that's a special feature of the Lord when he descends. And we can't expect that prema is going to come to us in that way. Therefore, the Goswamis have described at great length how to make progress in bhakti and how prema will actually come to us. And therefore they say that that of the different ways that bhav can manifest, that either through sadhana-abhinivesh, through absorption in sadhana, or through kripa, that is very, very rare, extremely rare, that bhav will manifest through kripa. Therefore, for most, that means, practically speaking, that means that only when the Lord himself descends and freely gives it, then it may be received in that way. And those are the examples that are given also in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. They're all persons who have direct contact with the Lord. So for those who don't have direct contact with the Lord, who have not appeared in the Lord's Leela, then they have to go through the standard process. And also, if we think of who are those persons who got to, I don't know, who are those persons who were present when the Lord was performing his lila? They must also have had some special qualification to be present at that time. But they must have also done sadhana in previous lifetimes to be qualified to be present when the Lord was performing his lila. So all these things have to be understood. He's asking that we're hearing, we're having this opportunity to hear from, I mean, from Vaishnava, which we've been describing the effects of that, the effect of hearing Lila Katha, and specifically the effect of hearing from Anupam Vaishnava, and how it is so powerful. And even though we are hearing every day, yet still the effect seems to be very slow for us. He's asking how we can hear, how we can take it such that it will have the effect that it's supposed to have. So in the Bhagavatam, what is it, this Manjiri Sandhu Bhavanturiskarana Sayana Kata Satam Prasangam. So he says Satam Prasangam. The one should have Sat Prasanga. He doesn't use just the word Sangha here, but he uses Prasanga, which means a very special type of Sangha. Ordinary Sangha means that to come in someone's proximity and to hear something from them. Just like we come, we see the sadhu, we hear from them, and we go away. Then we leave, maybe for some little time, what we've heard makes some impression on our mind. But then again, our mind is filled with so many other thoughts, so many other topics. But that is ordinary sangha. We're not doing prasanga. We're not doing satprasanga. We're just doing ordinary sangha. Although the sangha itself, in other words, the person with whom we are associating may not be ordinary. He may be extraordinary. But our method of associating with him is ordinary, because we are only coming near to him, hearing, seeing, but not imbibing deeply what he is saying. But Bhagavatam, the Srila Deva is saying here, Satam Prasangam Mamavirya Vidu, that we should do Prasanga, we should do Prakrit Rupena Sangha, which means very like very special type of association, a very special method of associating. So what is that method? That we should serve that person in every respect. We should serve that person with body, mind, and words. We should imbibe what that person is saying deeply within our hearts, not just that we hear it, and it goes in one ear and goes out the next. But we should keep it in our hearts. We should mold our life according to those instructions. So that is prasanga. And also, when we are just doing ordinary sangha, in other words, when we are associating with the sadhu in an ordinary way, then he will speak ordinary katha. He will speak many things which are beneficial to us, but he will not speak those very special things to unqualified persons. Of course, we are seeing that Gurudev is mercifully speaking many confidential things to help us to advance. But yet, unless there is a mood of selflessness, complete selflessness and surrender, giving body, mind and word, then he will reveal only according to our level of surrender. But here the verse is Mama Viryasam Vidu. He's saying that he will speak the samvad, he will speak the topics about my heroic activities. In other words, he will speak special katha concerning the Lord's confidential glories. And Ritkaranara Sayana Katha, this is what he will speak. He will speak that katha which is like rasayan, which is like a nectarine tonic for both the ear and the heart. So if we want to these topics to have the effect which the Shastra is saying that they can have, then we have to take it in this way. We have to do prasang. Prasanga, we have to do very intimate association with the sadhu. It means not just being in his proximity, but ultimately means serving with mamata, serving with a feeling of minus. But actually before that, before there can be mamata, there has to be padiyata, which means that I am yours. And this is the characteristic of Saranagati. Saranagati means approaching for shelter. And Jiva Goswami has described in Bhakti Sandarbha that the essence of Saranagati is Tadiyatva, which means that I am yours, I belong to you. I have no separate identity. So when our association is done in this spirit of Tadiyatva, I belong to you. Then, and Guru sees that we actually have that mood, then he will completely take charge of our activities. And then we will see that it will have this type of effect. In fact, in just reading recently in the Brahma Gita, when Uddhav went to Vrindavan and he was speaking with the gopis, and then Srimati Radhika saw the bumblebee and she began her Chitra Jalta, which is a manifestation of Mahabhav, the inner state of Mahabhav, and in the state of separation from Krishna, she begins to speak in madness. That is called Chittara Jalta. And there's 10 types of Chittara Jalta. So in one type of Chittara Jalta is called Abhijalta. So Abhijalta means speaking in a mood of great sorrow, great distress. And in that verse, she is by way of showing the fault of Krishna, he's showing also the fault of, not to speak of that Krishna is to be condemned, but even hearing about Krishna is to be condemned. And she says there that this hearing about Krishna, it is karana piyusham. It is like nectar for the ears. But the commentators explain, Jiva Goswami explains, that yes, it is nectar for the ears, but not for the heart. Because it is so attractive that you can't help but hear it. But then it will completely destroy your heart, because it will cause you to have attachment for him, and then he will break your heart. And they say, and the verse is stating that viprut, one drop, and sakrid, one time. So if you get one drop of this nectar, and only one time getting one drop, then what will be the result? That vidrutta dvandva dharma. Dvandva dharma means all relationships. Dvandva means pair or couple, or like the dualities of this world, happiness and distress, heat and cold. And dvandva also means in the sense of relationship between man and woman. So vidrutta, all of this dvandva dharma, it will become completely destroyed. Visheshena bhuta. It means that not only it will be destroyed, but it will be completely smashed, completely destroyed. All relationship, all affection for family, etc. And one will become vinastaha, one will become totally destroyed. So he's saying that that person who gets this one drop of nectar one time, he will completely give up all connection with family and loved ones. And what will he do? Just like bhava vihanga iva, just like many birds, or birds also means, or vihanga literally means that which moves in the sky. So it may also be like the bumblebee. So in other words, she's addressing the bumblebee here, and she's saying that don't think you're so great. There are so many birds like this who, by getting one drop of this nectar, they have come to Vrindavan, abandoning all of this dvandva dharma, and they are maintaining themselves by bhikshu, simply by begging. So this is the point she's making here, what the Radhika is making here, that this is the effect of hearing Krishna Lila. But now we're speaking about the effect of Krishna Lila. But she's saying that not to speak of hearing it again and again, but even if one simply gets one drop of this one time, it will have such an effect that one at once, sapadi, at once, in other words, immediately after hearing it, one will give up all affection for family members. And Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, in his commentary, he says that what condition will he leave them in? He said that, like everyone knows that in India, dogs are very negligible, and they just maintain themselves on maybe some scraps of food which they also have to fight for. They're not pampered like here in the West. So he says that as much food as a dog would be left with, he leaves his family members without even that much food. In other words, he leaves them with absolutely nothing, and with no one to provide for them. And he also leaves with nothing in his pocket. He has not even a single paisa in his pocket. So therefore, those persons they are described in the verse as, you know, which means they are very neglected and without having any shelter whatsoever. And he himself is also Dina. He's also completely bereft of any shelter and any happiness. And they also give, the commentators say that there's another reading from the verse. Instead of Dina, they use the word Dhira. So Dhira means very sober, very calm, undisturbed. But they say in this case the meaning is that even though he sees that the family members are crying and begging him not to go away, and they're completely distressed, he's Dhira. He's totally unmoved, totally unaffected, and he leaves them in that condition. So,